Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wilders and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprigg. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much. And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com/PT. Once again, that's reputationking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT.
Cheap leads aren't necessarily the best leads. The best leads are the ones that buy.
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic with Keith Krantz, Molly Pittman, and Ralph Burns.
Hello and welcome back to episode number 68 of Perpetual Traffic. And today we're going to be walking you through part two of the proven three-step formula to transform your business with video ads, most specifically for Facebook. However, these video ad styles are going to be the very same that will work with platforms like YouTube and even Instagram with the shorter videos and other platforms. So just because we're talking mostly about Facebook today and last week, this same exact formula works really, really well with YouTube. How you guys doing?
Good.
You guys ready to do this?
Yeah, ready to rock.
All right. Well, we got Molly back and she's been gone. Tell us where you went.
Yeah, I was in Thailand for 10 days. Really exciting stuff, other than their king passed away while I was there. So it was quite the cultural experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shut down the country.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, just an update for you guys. You'll notice at the show notes, digitalmarketer.com/podcast, we now have transcriptions of each episode. So we're going back and updating the old ones. But from here on out, you'll see that all of the episodes are transcribed. And there's also a download. You don't have to opt in for it, but there's a PDF download for each episode where our content team has put together the transcription and links and really just a resource that you can use and send to your team or send to your friends. That's a good recap of the episode.
Cool. Love it. Love it. A lot of people have been asking for that. So for those of you that are asking, here you go. So cool.
Ask and you shall receive.
Alrighty, let's get into it. So on today's episode, we're going to go into a little bit more detail on some of the specifics about creating your campaigns inside Facebook, as well as several important keys to winning with video ads, and as well to be aware of when it comes in terms of increasing your conversion costs and really being able to scale out. And we're going to touch on some new features that have recently rolled out and are rolling out soon for some of you as well. So last week, if you haven't listened to episode 67, make sure you go back and listen to episode 67. We talked about the three-step process that we've seen work over and over and over again. And actually, I added up all the numbers. And now, you know, since about 2010 or 2011, in our ad account, we've seen over 8 billion impressions in our business manager that Ralph and the team that we have access to through coaching and agency clients. 8 billion impressions, 95 million clicks, $20 million spent, and 132 million video views.
Woo.
That's a lot of video views.
Nice.
That's some serious volume. So we've seen a lot.
We've seen a lot.
Yeah.
Back in our day.
Back in our day, yeah. And some of those are clients that have come on lately that have already been running videos, a lot of videos as well. So we can go and see what's been working as well. So we went over the three-step proven process last week. And number one was the intro. The key to the intro is to get the viewer to see your video and stop and watch your video or click your video, click unmute so they can hear it. That's the key. So it's all about having some kind of pattern interrupt. We talked about a lot of ways to do that with motion and with something that's kind of just unique. Number two is the middle, the meat of the video. This is where we gave you the EDI process, right? EDIE, which stands for educate, demonstrate, inform, or entertain. And you do not have to have all four of these in one video. Sometimes it's just one, okay? And sometimes you might educate and inform. Sometimes you might educate and demonstrate. Sometimes you might educate and entertain. However, these are the keys. We gave you lots of different examples for each of these and how they can work in different industries, from mass consumer, pet supplements, to fitness, to B2B software and education, online programs and stuff. And then step three is just the call to action. You know, having that seamless, authentic call to action is the next obvious step. And if you have a much longer video, then you need to have calls to action earlier in the video that are natural and go along with the message. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some key elements that you need to be aware of when it comes to having success with your videos, as well as one more video type that still uses the three-step process, but it's just a shorter video. And then we're going to touch on some important campaign setup elements when it comes to creating a video ad inside Facebook. So first of all, let's talk about some new features. Number one is there's now 6 different video view custom audience segments. Ralph, what the heck does that mean?
That means percentage of your view. So Facebook counts a video view as a 3-second view. Basically, it means that you hover over the video. You don't necessarily click it, but you stay on the video for at least 3 seconds. But then after that, there's certain percentages of view. Like let's say, for example, you've got a 4-minute video. So maybe somebody actually hovers over and maybe doesn't click, but maybe they do click, but they watch 25% of that 4-minute video. So they watch 1 minute of that video. So those people would actually be gathered in an audience, which you could actually create inside the Facebook Ads Manager under video engagement. This is under your custom audiences, video engagement, 25%. So those people watch 1 minute of your 4-minute video. And then there's another one that's 50%. So obviously those folks have watched 50% or 2 minutes of it. And then there's a 75%, which would be 3 minutes in this case on a 4-minute video, and then 95%. And you guys can figure out what 95% is of 4 minutes. I'm not really that good at math, but you get the idea. So obviously the people that are 75 and 95% probably more engaged than the people that are 50 or 25%. And I think Ezra does this really well, explains how he uses this really well with retargeting on episode number 63. And we're starting to use that same strategy in the agency right now with some really good results. So huge here. And then you can, what's even cooler is you can create lookalike audiences off all of those individual percentages. Ooh. And those have been some of the best audiences that we've had for lookalikes. So really cool stuff rolling out right now with Facebook.
Yep, big time. Exactly. In an earlier episode, we talked about ways to scale. And one of the best ways to scale your campaigns is what you guys call audience scaling. And it's adding more audiences. And the great thing about video ads is what Ralph just said. You're able to create not only warm audiences, but cold audiences much faster. If you don't have a huge list, if you don't have a huge customer base, if you don't have 20,000 fans or more, you can run a short video and you can build up these 50% video views very quickly. And then you can create a lookalike audience off 50%, 75%, 95%. And you know what? You can test those all against each other. Don't try to see which one should I do. You know what? Try them all. Have small budgets, and it just gives you more ammo to work with. The next thing is Facebook is now letting us do square videos as well as vertical videos, in addition to the standard high def kind of landscape style or 16:9 ratio video. And what do I mean by that? First of all, don't do this now, but when you're done, if you want a little bit more on the video sizes, you can go back to episode 62, where we talked about 5 critical changes to the Facebook ad platform. And at the end of that, what I talked about was this specifically, the video sizes, and I talked about the different ratios. And I'm just here to tell you that square videos right now are working really, really well.
Yeah, they're legit.
Yeah, so the reason why they're doing this is all about mobile, pure. It's purely about mobile. Look at these other platforms, Snapchat, Periscope, Instagram, a lot of these people, their phone is vertical when they're taking pictures and videos, and that's why they're doing this, and it works really well. And so we're seeing a sometimes a 30 to 50% increase in ROI by switching from the normal landscape style like you see on your TV to a square video. To do that, we don't have time to go into it on this one, but you do that in editing typically. You just make the canvas of your video a square. If you want to try the vertical video, you know, film your video with your camera, your iPhone vertical. Now you got a vertical video and you'll upload it to Facebook. And sometimes the preview won't quite look right if you're doing square or vertical. If you're creating that ad in the Power Editor, when you look at the preview, you're like, oh, it's got all this black around on the sides and you think it's not going to look right. But actually when your video plays, it does look right. So don't get hung up on this though. If you have the normal size video that you film with a good camera, start there and don't worry about the different sizes. You can always just go to an editor and you can just make it square. You're just gonna lose a little bit of the stuff around the sides. The next thing that Facebook has just rolled out is pre-roll audience network video ads. Like, what the heck is that? Well, if you've ever been on YouTube and you've seen the pre-roll videos that roll before your video starts, they've got the ones where you can skip after 5 seconds, and then they've got the bigger brand videos that you have to watch for 15 or 30 seconds. I don't know what the time limitations are right now. This is something Facebook is testing in the audience network, okay? So not Facebook. You can't go to Facebook and run pre-roll videos on other people's videos, if you're wondering. Is that gonna come down the road? I don't know. My guess is, honestly, probably will. So those are some important new features to be aware of. The other thing is with these custom audiences, just one thing I want to talk to you about is please don't try to compare a video ad campaign to a normal traditional image ad or a link post ad campaign. Both of these campaigns will probably be using the website conversions campaign. So let's say that Molly's running an ad and it's a website conversions campaign to download their Facebook swipe file. It's a link post ad. It's an image that's clickable. And then maybe she runs another one. Maybe it's a 45 second video that shows like what it is, right? And then that takes them to the landing page and they opt in. Or maybe they're running a 3 or 4 minute video, right? It's a longer, more educational video like we talked about in the last episode. If you're doing that, yes, you want to look at the numbers and you want to say, okay, my video ads are converting at $4 per lead in my link post ads are converting at $3.30 per lead. You're not going to turn off your video ads in most cases because remember, you have to think about the longer term benefits that's happening. These audiences that you're building, sometimes you might be paying 5 or 6 cents for a 50% view or a 25% view. And so you're getting these audiences built up really fast, but also you're making that brand impact. It makes a huge difference. It's why big brands spend millions and millions of dollars on TV, because they know when you see their brand over and over again, it actually does work, but it can be really expensive. So that's going to be for you. That's going to be an ancillary. It's going to be a collateral benefit, the branding that's happening. But do not dismiss the value of that collateral benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that video, it really leaves a lasting impression. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. It's much more personable, whether it's someone talking on the video or it's a cartoon or it's a demonstration of your product. Don't dismiss the lasting effects of video. It's why commercials are so effective.
Yeah, and I think we've really seen this, and to Keith's point, is that we typically will, well, now we start most of our campaigns with a video ad if we've got one, or we pull one from the archives from the customer. But we'll see a collateral benefit of the video ad and the fact that, and we've split tested this in separate campaigns, is that we usually see video ad people who are indoctrinated in the newsfeed with a video of you and your business or whatever it is that you're offering. They typically ROI better on the back end. You might pay a little bit more for them, but cheap leads aren't necessarily the best leads. The best leads are the ones that buy, and video really helps you to do that by pre-framing your audience right as they're thumbing through their newsfeed. So really important thing, if you're testing video versus link post or image ads, try and keep them separate and treat them separately, because not every lead is equal.
So we're going to get into a few items to be aware of. But first, I want to talk about another video formula that works really well. And it still follows this three-step process that we talked about. And it's a short 25 to 30 second video. It could be up to 45 seconds or a minute as well. But we've seen some killer videos just crush it. And they're so simple to execute on. And what it is doing is it's absolutely following the Eddie formula that we talked about. And a lot of times it's demonstrating. It's demonstrating what they're getting with their opt-in. So maybe you're driving traffic not to a product sales page, but you're driving traffic to a very simple lead magnet, and you have a 30-second video that tells the story without them having to turn the sound up. You've got music in the background. Maybe you have a voiceover, maybe you don't. But if they don't click unmute, it doesn't matter. And you've got motion so people can see. And maybe it's showing your awesome gadget in action with text overlay telling the story along the way. Or maybe it's showing what they get. Like in Molly's case, you could show the different swipe files, just like boom, boom, boom. And like, or maybe a boring ad, then showing a clip of three amazing ideas. And then that ding, 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 light bulb, you know, and then that person is making an ad and it's getting really good ROI. That's a little bit more complex, but maybe it's just showing the product in use, how the software works, or what they get when they opt in. And so when you do that, there's motion, catch their attention, and then you have the text overlay along the screen. And make sure you're looking at your preview in these videos on a small device, a mobile device, and to make sure that text is readable. Those are working really, really well for us because the video ends very quickly and the next logical step is to take action. I just wanted to touch on that. It's easier to execute than some of the longer ones. In some cases, they're working, you know, by far the best. And what we like to do sometimes with clients is say, hey, make one short 20 to 30 second one and then make one longer one. And then they kind of both serve their own purpose.
And it's simple too. I mean, whatever your product or service is, just show it being used. I mean, it's just kind of that simple. I mean, we have one right now where we're doing for just it's like an ebook or sort of a recipe booklet, and all it shows is just kind of thumbing through it, and that's really it, and it does really well. So just use these types of simple resources that can be very easily videoed with just an iPhone, you know, something real simple here.
However, the key here is, even if it's a short video, you know, in that first 5 or 10 seconds, if you can make them aware of the problem that your solution solves, that's going to help make a big difference. You know, frustrated with, you know, building out whatever it is, check the software product in use. It makes it easy. The restaurant video that we linked to in some earlier episodes and we'll link to in this one as well, is it's a software that helps restaurant owners get their customers back. The intro shows how restaurant owners are frustrated with fishbowls not working, right? Where people drop their business card in the fishbowl. Even if they can't hear the guy, they can still kind of see the software work. And that's a little bit longer version of it. But as long as you kind of understand that, that's the key. But show it in action. Show it making somebody's day better, right? Making it them feel better, or being able to do something easier and faster than they would have been able to do without your product or service. Now, for your situation, decide which one is easier to execute on. That's what I say you start with first. Maybe if you have a longer one that you've already made for YouTube, then use that one and just, you know, add some text overlay so it works with Facebook. If you'd have to make a video from scratch, maybe start with the 30-second one because it's easier to implement. It just depends on your specific situation. Let's talk about some keys to winning with video. Three keys to winning with video are, number one is you got to make it shareable. This is so, so critical to winning.
How do you make it shareable, Keith? I want to know.
It's such a great question because it's so easy for people to think when they hear shareable, they think viral and they think it's got to be funny. Well, all you have to do is get the book Contagious, Why Things Catch On by Jonah Berger. And he talks about 6 principles to why people share things. And they don't always have to be about being funny. Number one, social currency. Things that make people look good to talk about it. People want to share stuff that makes them look smart or in the know, right? Number two, triggers. Things that are cued by a social environment that make us reminded to talk about them. This is like current events and stuff like that. We're not going to hit on that right now at all, but it's one that can be big. Emotion. When people care about something, we share it. And there's different types of emotions that people share more than others. But one of them is awe. If they're awed by something or feel good emotion, people share the heck out of. Something that makes them feel like not very good, they don't share a lot of. It's kind of interesting. There's a lot of science behind this. Public. It's easier to imitate something that you've already seen somebody else doing. So people will share something there or do something because they're following the herd. Number five is practical value. We like to share useful or valuable information. And then number six is stories. People love to share great stories. Now, I just talked about 6 principles, but I want to focus on number one and number five. Number one is social currency, things that make people look good to talk about. And number five, practical value. We like to share useful or valuable information. And these are for those of you that don't think you can be funny in your video. Now, there's always ways to be funny, but it can be harder to develop. This is why I tell people, make a video that's shareable. So when I talk about my three big mistakes that people make on Facebook ads, the video ad, I give them some stuff. I give them a new rule of thumb for target audience size. I give them in the ad copy, like I talk about the three big mistakes. I want to make it so even if they don't watch the video, they see that content as valuable and useful, like they're sharing something cool for somebody. They're not sharing my video in most cases because they think people will be interested in signing up for the webinar, that my call to action is on that video. No, they're sharing it because I give them a tip on how to run better Facebook ads or an audience size rule of thumb that people love. And so that makes it shareable. There's a lot of ways you can do this. Sometimes it's emotion. One of our clients does an amazing job with just really connecting with his audience. Another times it's just funny. When you're educating, like for example, Squatty Potty. Squatty Potty is obviously hilarious, right? But really deep down, they're educating people on something they didn't realize. Like there's a lot of cultures where they don't have toilets like they do in the US. And it's the reason because they explain it in this video and your body is not meant to actually sit like that. And so that video does a great job of using these different elements. And that's why it's viral. And that's why their revenue has jumped up so high. Number two, don't be overly clever. Show how your product is useful. Do not worry about being overly clever and funny. Stick to the principles we talked about and you're going to be better off in Facebook, really. Number three is provide value or show product in use and how useful it is. That's going to also make it shareable because if you're showing them, making them aware of something, wow, giving them an aha moment, I didn't realize that you could do this in this way, they might share it as well. So the reason why you want to make it shareable though is because of course you're going to get free viewers and clicks and leads. But also, if you're running paid traffic and you want to build a machine like we teach you to do, this signals to the Facebook algorithm that your video is hyper relevant and they reward you in a big, big way with sometimes 10 times cheaper clicks and views, which converts to 10 times cheaper leads or cost per sale. So the reason it needs to be shareable is not just for the free stuff. It's more importantly, you're going to get rewarded with your ad cost going way, way, way down and your reach going way, way, way up.
So what you're saying is that if you follow the three-step formula from the previous episode, naturally a natural outgrowth of that will be shareability if you do it right.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And you're going to make your audience happy. And you're going to be doing what Roy Williams talks about in his book, The Wizard of Ads, which is one of my favorite books that was recommended by Ryan Dice originally. And he talks about this a lot in his book. Make your ads something that people remember, that people enjoy. Not just always trying to get them to click and opt in.
I think we're going to start calling you the Wizard of Video Ads.
Keith's passion.
No, it's good.
Yeah, he
loves it.
It's good.
I do. It works. Works, baby.
All right.
Let's get into some campaign setup stuff. So I'm sure you might be wondering right now, okay, what should I do? Should I use video views as the objective? Should I create my video ad in the power editor? What the heck do I do? Do I use website conversions? How do I split test videos? What are all these things that I do? Well, obviously we can't talk about every little thing on this episode, but we're going to give you some key elements here, as well as we've got a download that we'll give you for free that usually comes with our courses, but we'll give you a free download that shows the three-step process as well as some example videos. And we'll have a link on the show notes at dominatewebmedia.com/video template. First of all, like we've said on all previous episodes, 80 to 90% of the campaigns that we run with most of our clients, and I think Molly would agree with them, is website conversions objective.
Absolutely.
Same thing with video. We don't use video view objective in most cases. We use website conversions. Why? Because in most cases, we're driving traffic to a page that we want to have them convert. And a lot of times the video does a good job of building up rapport and building up desire because it might be a longer video. But even if it's a shorter video, if our goal is to get conversions, that's what we're going to use. Because if your goal is to try to get a conversion, you want Facebook to put that video and place it in front of people that have the most likelihood to convert. And as you start generating conversions, their targeting is going to get better and better, and it's going to start working better and better. If you're using the objective video views, which is the standard objective. If you, let's say, for example, upload a video on your Facebook page, on your Facebook business page, and then you boost it, the campaign objective is going to be video views automatically. And that's okay as well. But Facebook's going to optimize. They're going to try to put that video in front of people that have a higher likelihood of watching videos, not necessarily clicking through and opting in. However, if you have a video that has a viral tendencies, it's super hyper shareable, like some of the videos we talked about in the last episode, then you definitely want to try using video views as the objective. Because what can happen is if you have a video that's really, really shareable and it's going out to super large audiences, like a mass consumer video, maybe it's a gadget or it's a health product that's really, really wide audience, then because your cost per video view gets down so low because of all the sharing and Facebook just keeps rewarding you, a lot of times your cost per video view can be 0.02 or 0.03 of one penny, literally. And your cost per video view is so much cheaper than website conversions is that actually your lead conversion cost or your sales conversion cost becomes lower as well. The audience might not be as targeted, it's wider, but because the cost is so much lower, your conversion costs go down as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. And you've got a higher likelihood of being able to identify those people in one of those custom audiences that we had talked about before. And I mean, we've got a couple of videos going right now with just straight video views. If you can do it, do both. Like if you're trying to use a video to get a conversion, definitely use that because it definitely is effective. But also if you've got budget for it, use the same video for video views. And, you know, we've got one going right now that's getting 0.00005 per video view, which is crazy low. Something I haven't even seen up to this point. So, I mean, something like that, you can definitely get with video view only. I probably wouldn't be able to get it with website conversion because the objective that you choose is what Facebook optimizes for. So if you just want people to see the video, then use video views. If you want to get them to convert, use website conversions. And quite honestly, for retargeting, when we've got small audiences that go back to maybe a landing page or maybe an offer where they refused it, we use video views for that because that just we just want people to watch the video as much as possible. Because if we know they watch the video, chances are they're probably going to click on the ad and then potentially convert. So lots of different objectives here to keep in mind, but keep it simple as much as you possibly can.
If we're using website conversions, we usually add a link in the body copy. So like in the text area where you're writing your message in your post, we like to put a link there, especially if it's a sidebar, a right column ad, and they click the video. So it pops open into a new window. So your video is bigger, but the text stuff is over to the right. And if somebody shares that, if you don't have a link in the post, then a lot of times the people that get it shared to won't be able to click on it. So for website conversions, we always want to do that. And it doesn't seem to affect the performance that much. However, if you're using video views and you have a viral type of video, sometimes having the link in the post or having that link will affect your costs. And sometimes right. You just have to give them a call to action, your URL in your video, and also have good branding. So when they're going back to Google and searching your stuff, your brand is showing up. This is going to be important. When you start to run more video ads and just Facebook ads in general, these type of display ads, people are going to start searching your brand. Your brand search is going to go up.
Also keep in mind that sometimes you might be creating videos that aren't viral. You know, the goal of your video might not be branding. You know, you might be retargeting people that visited your website with testimonials about your product. So, you know, in that situation, you would definitely want to optimize for website conversions or website clicks. So when you're creating a video, really think about what is the goal of this video? Is this a branding video where I'm really trying to reach the masses? If so, definitely go with video views. If it's something that's a little further down the funnel, then make sure that the objective of your campaign really reflects that.
And just a couple more things to be aware of is number one, that Facebook is testing the call to action button placement. It's been recently, for a while, it's been below the video in the link description area, but I've seen it sometimes in the video player itself. They were doing this a while back, about 9, 10, 12 months ago. And I've seen it in a couple previews lately as well. So they're going to be testing that. So be careful if you're trying to edit your videos to point at the button and all that, because they're probably going to move it on you. And the thumbnail image that you have, this is the image that people see when your video is not played yet. So if it's a right column ad, they're going to see a preview image. And this is called the thumbnail image. You cannot have more than 20% text in this, just like any other Facebook ad. But your video can. So if your video has a lot of text overlays and it's covering more than 20% of your screen, that's okay. As long as your preview image doesn't. That's important. Some people get confused on that. Sometimes you might have a perfect preview image that Facebook picked. They give you 10 to choose from. Sometimes there's a perfect one because you've got text overlay and it's just a great image. A lot of times it's not though, and you can just create one. Sometimes I'll take a screenshot of the video and then add my own text for the thumbnail image. The other thing is just pay attention to your video views and the cost per, I call them quality video views. Pay attention to how much it costs you to get a 25% view or a 50% view, and you know, compare that to what it costs to get somebody to a website in some cases. Okay, so those are the important elements to be aware of. If you want to learn a little bit more on some of these foundational stuff, is I got three books that I'd like to recommend. Number one is The Wizard of Ads, and a recent article that Ryan Deitch just talked about is, I think, five or six books that you should read that you might not have yet, and one of them was Wizard of Ads, I think number one, and I read this a while back and love this book, especially the first third of it is related to this. This will help you. Another one is Contagious, Why Things Catch On by Jonah Berger. It talks about the six principles of why things catch on. And then another one is Utility, Y-O-Utility, by Jay Baer. And this is really the principle of everything that we've been talking about along the way of providing value and providing a utility, whether that's in your ad itself in a video ad or whether that's in an article that you create that's got high value content. But guess what? We've got systems in place with Facebook where we know even if they don't convert on that first time they read your blog or the first time they watch your video, it doesn't matter because we can have an ad following them up, bringing them into our funnel and our lead gen page or our sales page. But when you read the book Utility or listen to it on Audible, just remember that everything that he talks about, when you implement the strategies that we talk about, you can fast forward the process that sometimes can take years to build up the search engine optimization and all that stuff and the subscribers. You can just speed up the process if you do really what we teach on this podcast. Other than that, you can access all the notes from this and all the references on the show notes at digitalmarketer.com/podcast. And then you can go to download the video ad template guide that we've got at dominatewebmedia.com/video template. Other than that, Molly, that's all we got.
Awesome job, Keith. And I think this was a great part two. You know, part one really covered the why, and part two is really the how. So great job on this, and we'll see you guys next week.
Cool. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
See ya.
All right.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic with Keith Krantz, Molly Pittman, and Ralph Burns. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit digitalmarketer.com/podcast. Thank you for listening.
John Moran here. Q1 is closing and it probably didn't go as well as you'd hoped. I'm sure your agency is telling you that they crushed it, but in reality, it probably crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you, or if there's something wrong but you can't quite put your finger on what, go to tier11.com/apply, that's tier11.com/apply, and we'll get set up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business, not just metrics that make agencies look good.